Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable. So glad to be with you today. Pray that you will stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Holy Word. I'm so glad to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a world with so much bad news, it is so good to be able to bring you a message of hope and a message that I know it can be life-changing if you let it get into your heart and you respond by simple faith to the challenge that is given from Scripture. God can begin a wonderful change instantly in your heart and life and continue that work all the way into eternity. This gospel doesn't just operate in this world. It reaches into eternity and it affects our eternal destiny. So this is a vitally important message that I want to bring you today. If you're a Christian today, this message is a message of hope and consolation. It can absolutely change your prayer life. I know Christians pray, but we need sometimes an accelerant, something to set our prayers on fire and to bring our faith up to a level of not just expectation, but receptivity, that we might be able to receive from the Lord all that He has promised, and that we might be able to achieve for the Lord all that He has purposed. So we're coming today with the help of the mighty Holy Spirit, hallelujah, amen, to bring a message from God's Word to you. The Word of God is anointed in itself, but there's an anointing on the preacher to preach that Word as well. So there's a double portion that goes on when the Word of God is brought forth, and you just open your heart and life to receive it today. If you're not a Christian today, I want you to listen to this message today, because it is so important that you understand the claims of Christ, and that you understand the gospel plan, and that you clearly understand what God is ready, willing, and able to do in and through your life today. Doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done. We serve a God who has made a provision for you to be saved and for you to be changed and for you to find the peace and the joy and the fulfillment in this life and eternal life in the world to come. Now, I don't know anything better to talk about than the one that He has provided to bring all of this into our life, and that is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And we're going to talk about the subject that we began last week, the awesome privilege and power of being children of the Most High God. See, when you get saved, you don't just get your sins forgiven. You come into a new relationship with God, a right standing with Him, and you're brought into a familial, a family relationship. And God is not just your Creator, nor is He just your Savior. He becomes, in truth and in reality, our Heavenly Father. What a privilege and what power is ours to be called His very children. Praise God. If you are a constant listener to this broadcast, we're glad that you've returned to listen to it. And if you know someone that you feel that this broadcast may be a blessing to, if you would email them, if you have a computer, if you drop them a postcard, give them a ring on the telephone, let them know every Tuesday at 2 p.m. to tune in to Let's Talk About Jesus. And if you want some more of this kind of preaching and teaching in a live context in our church service, you can tune in from 12 p.m. until 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon and have an hour in the Word of God. And it's exciting. I'm excited when I preach. You'll have to listen quick because I preach fast. Hallelujah. But God blesses. It's hard to contain it. Sometimes it just pours forth. But we're so grateful for an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. And we just are thankful to be part of this great work that the Spirit of God is doing in these last days. Please tell somebody about this radio station. There are other gospel ministries on here that are such a blessing and will be a blessing to other people. So kind of make people aware. If they don't know already, tell them that they can get on their computer, type in WMAF Home and go to the homepage of WMAF Radio and get it streaming 24 hours a day live anywhere in the world, anywhere in the United States of America. What a wonderful outreach this becomes because of the World Wide Web. And also you can go to type in THCOG, that stands for The Holy Church of God. We're affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International, have been in good standing for over 30 years. And God is since 1974, to be exact. And God has been so gracious to let us work under this covering and under His anointing to reach out to whoever He sends His word to. So we're grateful to you today once again for tuning back in. And we're going to go into the subject today, which is such an exciting subject. I want to read once again from 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2. If you have become a Christian, if you are saved today, this is this relationship that you now have with God. Listen to it. 1 John, in the epistles of John, 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to read it once again from John Gill's exposition of the Bible. I like this translation of this. It says, see, take notice, consider, look by faith, and with wonder and astonishment, and observe how great a favor, what an instance of matchless love, what a wonderful blessing of grace. Hallelujah. Of all the blessings of grace, beginning with sins forgiven, right up on the top shelf with those blessings, and that blessing of having a right standing with God. But right up at the tip top of that is that we are able to be called the sons of God. But now we are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The privilege of calling God our Father is unparalleled. It is the crowning achievement of the cross. We are not just children of God by name, but we are children of God by nature. Sonship is not just positional, it's personal. And we are not just sons in name, but we are sons of God in nature because of a new nature. And because sonship is personal, it is powerful to affect mighty change in our life. Amen. One of the things that I believe the enemy of the church and the enemy of the cross and our personal enemy, the devil, would like to do is try to make the gospel of Jesus Christ an impotent, theological, man-made thing that has no power to change. You know, one of the things that the Bible said would be happening in the last days is there would be a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. This has got to have to do with the religious atmosphere and the compromise in many churches and organizations in the last days. A real misinterpretation of what the Scriptures authoritatively say and truly say about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to effect mighty change within the heart and within the life. This is not just a free ticket to heaven gospel. This is a gospel that brings us into God's very family by allowing us to partake of His divine nature. Praise God. I want to read that scripture to you about how we overcome the world because of His seed being in us. And let's read that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The exceeding great and precious promises in the Word of God is the promise that we can be changed. Hallelujah. Amen. That we, as mortals with sins and failures and flaws, can begin to partake of that holy, divine nature of the Holy One Himself, of God Himself. The only escape from the moral decay and the rottenness and corruption of this fallen world is the promise of God's transforming power within His seed within us. You see, the Bible said that His seed remains in us. We are the children of God. We have been powerfully saved and powerfully equipped to overcome. Amen. The authentic Christian, therefore, as we said last week, will repent when convicted by the Holy Spirit. Everywhere the words committed sin is found in the Bible, it means to live habitually in. And that's what changes in the life of an authentic Christian. It's not that we can't sin. It's just that we're not held in sin's dread sway. Satan is no longer our father. God has become our heavenly Father. Not just in name, but in nature. Praise God. Something happened, and it's called the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Something holy and divine has been imparted to the person who received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We don't just turn over a new leaf. We get a brand new life. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. So here's the challenge today. God calls His children to separate themselves unto Him so that He can bless and keep them, and as a faithful, caring, heavenly Father, provide for every need of our life. Let me read this wonderful call to separateness today, to allow that change within to be seen without and to be expressed without. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial here is simply the devil, Diablos. It's simply Satan or the enemy. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Listen to this. And be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I want to say that again. He promises to be a father unto us. Literally, a father unto you and a father unto me. And He promises that we will be His sons and His daughters. That we're already positionally the children of God, the sons of God. The moment you get saved, you come into that wonderful, powerful, privileged, precious relationship with Him, where you can pray the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that says, Our Father, which art in heaven. Isn't that incredible? You're not just praying to the supreme being. You're not just praying to a Savior King that sits high in His heaven. A God that may listen to you but is so distant from you. No, you're praying to one who loves you deeply and wants an intimate relationship with you. You know what Jesus taught? He said when He was going away, He said to His disciples, I go to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. It's incredible that not only is He our God, but now our God has become our heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Oh, what Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me. And what privilege it is. That's why I said this can be an accelerant to your prayer life, to really understand and have a real spiritual conception of what it means when you begin to pray to one who you have total access, one who loves you with all of his heart, one who is your heavenly Father. It makes a difference when you pray to one who you know that you have a relationship, a paternal, familial relationship with. You know, I would never go into my dad's home. He would give me anything he had. Too bad he isn't a rich man, because I would be a rich son. He's got such a generous heart. He just doesn't have a whole lot in terms of this earthly goods. He just doesn't. But if he did, boy, I would be a blessed man. My dad is 87, and I would never think of going to the door and beginning to talk like some people do to God. I would never think of going to the door and saying, "Oh, thou great Father, out of whose loins I have come, wouldest thou permit me to go to thy refrigerator, and in thy gracious mercy, would you grant me one of those wonderful root beers that you keep so cold in that refrigerator?" I wouldn't talk that way to him, and I would say, "Dad, how you doing today? It's good to see you. Hey, Dad, have you got any..." Now, I'm not saying we be that casual in our approach to God. What I am saying is this today, that we quit treating him like a distant king, so aloof upon his throne that we cannot talk to him, person to person, man to man, woman to father, a son to father. Amen. This is our Heavenly Father, and I go to him and pour my heart out before him. I begin by saying, "Hallowed be thy name," before I make my petition. I give honor where honor is due. I'm awestruck that I am invited into his presence. But I'm telling you, I am invited into his presence. The Bible said, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace." That doesn't mean stridently, and that doesn't mean irreverently. It means to come in to God's presence and come before his throne, standing in the standing that we have been given through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a mighty standing that we have with God, and we should not be tentative when we approach him. We should be very bold, because we have been washed in the blood of Jesus. We have been brought into God's royal family. We have been privileged to cry, "Abba, Father." Hallelujah. And to begin our prayer life with a confession that God is my Father. Amen. I've often went back to the scripture that talks to me as a dad, as a Christian father, and it says, if you, being a father, don't take care of your family and don't provide for their needs, you've denied the faith. And you are worse than an infidel. That's what God's word says to me. I'm going to tell you, God is a father to us, and he's not going deny us the things that he knows are right and requisite and good for us. He's not going to let us do without. Hallelujah. He's going to provide. His very name in the Old Testament is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, the many-breasted one, the all-sufficient one. Praise God. Amen. Doesn't mean he will give you everything you want, but he'll give you everything you need, and he'll give you everything that he purposes for you. I can say with David, "I'm young, and now I'm old." I've lived long enough to be able to say that, just like David said it. I'm moving into old age now, not middle age anymore. When you pass 60, you just can't claim middle age. I'm sorry. Amen. But listen to this. "I am young, and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread." God will provide. He's simply asking us that we distinguish ourselves as his children by coming out from the world, its values, its morals, its attitudes, and its sinful practices, and begin to live like the people that we really are, the children of the Most High God, because we're not just, sonship is not just positional, it is personal, and it is powerful, because we're not just sons in name, but we're sons in nature. We partake of the divine nature. That's how we overcome the world. Praise God. There's a new bent within us, and it's a bent toward righteousness. These are promises that the Bible said are exceeding and great. God is our God. We are His people. He will distinguish Himself by His power and presence in our lives. He will manifest Himself in the midst of us. He will move mightily by His Spirit. He will be a Father to us, and He will acknowledge us as His very children, His sons and His daughters. He will provide for us. He will protect us. He will defend us. And yes, He will chasten His own, but even that is an expression of His love for us. But in all these things, He will manifest His love for us. He said in John's Gospel 10, verse 14 and verse 27, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. My sheep know my voice and I know them. I like what J.I. Packer says. He says, what matters supremely is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that He knows me. Just think of that marvelous fact. Packer continues, I am craven on the palms of His hands. I am never out of His mind. All my knowledge of Him depends on His sustained initiative in knowing me. I know Him because He first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me, and there is no moment when His eye is off me or His attention is distracted from me. And no moment, therefore, when His care falters. This is a momentous knowledge. This is unspeakable comfort, the comfort of comfort, and the sort of comfort that energizes in knowing that God is constantly taking knowledge of me in love and watching over me for my good. There is tremendous relief in knowing that His love to me is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me, so that no discovery now can disillusion Him about me, in the way I'm often disillusioned about myself, and quench His determination to bless me. Praise God. Listen to this. I love this. I'm about to get shouting happy. Listen to this. He sees all the twisted things about me that my fellow men do not see, and I'm glad. And He sees more corruption in me than that which I see in myself, which in all conscience is enough. There it is, however, equally great incentive to worship and love God in thought, that for some unfathomable reason He wants me as His friend and desires to be my friend and has given His Son to die for me in order to realize this purpose, not merely that we know God, but that He knows us. You know what the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 13, verse 17? You have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Hallelujah. Continuing the thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the first verse of chapter 7 talks about those promises of Him being a Father to us. And it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Having promises like this, we are called to a different kind of life. You know, the world system can be so seductive to our flesh. We must remember it is influenced by the father of lies. Nothing in the material world nor the spiritual darkness of Adam's fallen race can satisfy the deepest longings of the soul like Jesus can and will. Because Jesus can bring us in to a relationship with God where our life is fulfilled by that relationship. And we don't have to keep buying the world's lies and hitting dead ends anymore. Praise God. Amen. I think it was on July 15th in 1997, they were taping the children's program Barney and Friends. But as they were filming Barney and Friends, there was a short in the electrical fan inside the hot suit that the actor who plays Barney wears. all of a sudden smoke started pouring out of different parts of Barney's purple body. They had to quickly whip Barney's head off, and of course everyone could see there was a person inside the dinosaur. There were phone calls, letters, there was an outrage and horror. Children were upset and crying all over the world. They had heard that Barney wasn't really a dinosaur after all. The newspapers covering the story had forgotten that children might actually read the papers too, and they had created a crisis of faith. Barney went up in smoke and lost his head. That's what the children thought. It all looked good, but the image was fine, but the reality had left them doubting and empty. And that's what happens, friends, when we worship things rather than the living God. Oh, it might seem right at the beginning. It might seem like a good image, like an ad in a paper in Burlington, Vermont that I had read somewhere a few months ago. It said, "Free puppies, half Cocker Spaniel and half the neighbor's sneaky dog." At least it was honest. It looks good on the surface until you read further. The image is free puppies. Here it is, reality, maybe not quite what you expected. So it is with idolatry. It sells you one thing, seems good, titillates, blesses your excesses, but in reality lets you down, doesn't exist, and leaves you empty. The real source of life and the real power in your life is knowing the living God, not in some substitute. Satan will always offer substitutes to knowing a real God. He would rather the church have an empty message that doesn't save, doesn't transform, doesn't change, doesn't fulfill, than to have the message of truth from the Word of God that tells you that this very day Christ can come into your heart and you can have a new standing with God and a new relationship with Him. He becomes your heavenly Father, and that God that walked with Adam in the cool of the day before the fall can walk with you. Hallelujah. And He can walk with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to invite you today, challenge you today, and let you know today that this is not something like we just read. This is not some costumed religion that is not real, that is some play actor playing a role. This is reality. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one is going to debunk Him. No one is going to expose Him. They're not going to find His bleached bones somewhere, amen, in the Holy Land. They're never going to prove something that is untrue, and that is that He did not rise from the dead. Praise God. Jesus is the Son of the living God. He can do everything that He promised to do in your heart and in your life and in your behalf. He is the mediator between God and man. And He said, "I'm the true bread that comes down out of heaven." Praise God. "I am the bread of life." He can satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Praise God. As well as save your soul and seal you for eternity. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's my great privilege to challenge you today. Amen. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, that you would put your trust in Him and that you would come to know Him as your Lord and your Savior. You know, you could open your heart right now because you've heard the gospel and you've heard this call. You could open your heart right now just like you are, right where you are, and say, "Jesus, I need You. I need Your forgiveness. I need Your salvation. I need You to come inside me and change in me the things that I can't change in myself. I need to get rid of the shame, the guilt. I need to get rid of the fear that plagues me that after I die, there's a judgment and I've got to face it, and I'm not ready to face that." Today, friend, you can say, "Jesus Christ, forgive my sins. I put my trust in You. Come into my heart. Change me. Save me. Seal me with Your Spirit. Make me a child of God. Let me partake today of the divine nature that I can overcome the world." Hallelujah. And if you're a Christian today and you have needs in your life and you're getting ready to pray about those needs sometime this day, remember when you kneel, you start your prayer with a confession and an affirmation that you have a Father in heaven who loves you, who listens to you, who provides for you, protects you, who will be a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So let your faith soar today and ask great things of God that He may be glorified. Till next week, bye-bye.